It's the March 7th, 2023 budget workshop. Mr. Brunson, you now have the floor.
All right. Mayor and council, thank you all again for coming today. And what we're going to do is, last time we went through the expenditures or an expenditure review for utilities and capital projects, this time we'll pick up everything else, which is general fund, solid waste, youth rec, and hospitality and accommodations. So if I go too fast, slow me down. Mayor, you and Dale did a good job of doing that last time. Jimmy, we got you over here. Especially on some of these early slides. I'd like to give you a bit of history so you can kind of see where we've come from and gives you a little bit of indication of where we're going to. What's not listed in this 7-year history is the Capital Projects Fund, because we just started that this fiscal year. So we'll start including that going forward. And I will point out that for 22 and 23, when you look at the hospitality fund up there, there are fund balance allocations going into that. So our annual revenue receipts are around 169, 170-ish thousand dollars, but we had some money that had been banked, and when you look at it, you see that we had a fund balance appropriation of 266 one year and 300 the next year. We didn't have a $500,000 in there. We just didn't get everything done in that first year, and some more of that money carried over. So we'll start with the general fund and administration. And I recall if I put the footnote on this one or not, but as you look at the numbers here, 2017 through 2022 are all audited numbers, and 23 is what your current budget is, minus the budget amendment that you have on your agenda for today. We haven't included that in any of these numbers because you haven't approved it. So those numbers will change a little bit, but when you read that budget amendment, you'll know exactly why.
Real quick, Kevin, the only accommodations tax, we went from $2,300 to $7,300 one year. What was the difference?
There was one of the accommodations tax collectors. It was going into hospitality instead of accommodations. We get it from Magnolia Manor. The Relax, and there's another bed and breakfast, I think, in town that we get. And one of those was going into hospitality, and it should have been going into accommodations.
Yes.
Can I ask an uneducated question?
Please.
Can you give me a quick rundown under administration of what the line items cover?
Yeah, so personnel services, that's anything to do with paying for the people in that division. So salary, medical insurance, workers' compensation insurance, retirement. Rebecca, what else is in that?
Did you say FICA and Medicare?
FICA and Medicare.
So people.
Mm-hmm. Commodities, those are going to be the small things that we use. So think paper and supplies and materials and things like that. Contractual services are where we pay other entities to come in and do work on our behalf. And then capital outlay, anything that's $5,000 or more per unit is considered capital.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And when we do a proposed budget, you'll get a full printout of everything, all the line items, so that you can see those.
Okay.
Public Works. And you don't see any numbers for 2017 because Public Works was combined with sanitation back in 2017. They separated it out. So next year when we do this, we'll drop 17 off. That won't look quite like the amount. Thank you. go to non-departmental.
Contracts we dropped to go to drop $9,000 last year.
What line are you looking at?
Contractual services. We went from 230,000 in 2022 to 142,000.
Yeah, I can't account for all of that off the top of my head, but part of that was in 2022 we budgeted for sewer authority litigation. Mm-hmm. And some of that was on the general fund side, some of it was in the utility. I can certainly go back and pull that.
I was just curious how we saved so much money.
Ready to talk about public safety? So for this current fiscal year, you might recall that we did a kind of I won't say a spur of the moment, but an end of the moment adjustment where we had five police positions that were full and two that were vacant. And in order to give the five pay raises, we froze the two that were vacant. And then to also give money to the fire department so we could increase the firefighter pay, we took $94,000 out of the police salary line item and moved that over into fire. And I will show you on the subsequent pages exactly what we did there. So looking at police officer pay, and you can see what we were prior to July 1st and what we went to as of July 1st. On average, between 17 and 20.5% increases for those officer pay. And that did help quite a bit. We were having a lot of turnover in the police department at the time, and we have had a lot less. Actually, I don't know that an officer has left us to go to another agency. We have one that resigned, but it was not for pay. So that helped. The other side of this is last week, Sheriff Crenshaw made a presentation to Oconee County Council, and just to show the reporter in the room that I read everybody's articles in the paper. I sometimes do a screen capture so we can keep up with it. But the sheriff's office is trying to get their starting pay up to $50,000 per officer. So they ran through a variety of different agencies, Greenville County, Lawrence County, Anderson County, and typically, you know, we can't not compete with Oconee County because it's probably our biggest competitor when it comes to police officers. So I don't know that we're going to need another big adjustment like we had last year, but we certainly cannot stop the forward progress.
That's a non-certified officer. They won't start with it.
I think they're doing that for certified. I'm looking at my eye.
We're close.
And Matt and I have been talking, and Matt, jump in here and express your opinion as you like. Matt and I have been talking recently about, do we still want to hire non-certified officers? The amount of work, Dale, you know this better than I do for sure. The amount of work we put in when we hire a non-certified officer, there's a lot of time and money that's wrapped up in that person And then we have to pull a lot of resources from the existing officers because that new non-certified officer can't go out on the street.
Right.
So they've been to the Criminal Justice Academy, and then even after they get back, they've got quite a bit of training they have, field training they have to do. And then they've got to get to the point where Matt's comfortable with them being alone. So he and I have started talking as late as this past week about making maybe a concerted effort to hire certified officers. We're going to have to pay them more, but they come ready to work. It's hard to really capture how much it costs us when we hire someone who's non-certified, when the whole rest of the force has to kind of participate in their training, but it's downtime. So nothing hard and fast, it's just something he and I started talking about. You want to chime in?
Where I say we missed one who from the sheriff's office and come to us, and we just get even close to what he would be in terms of. So it's definitely a step in the right direction. You know, certified, but we can be close to where it's at now. Maybe go somewhere else. We're $6,000 away. We can't expect to come out of it.
Right.
Right. I think it's good. It's a,
you know, larger agencies can afford to go with uncertified officers a whole lot more than a small agency can. And just to reiterate what the two of you have said, you take away from your certified officers when they're having to train an uncertified officer, now especially that they can't ride by themselves prior to the academy, no matter how good or how much they know. So which brings in a whole plethora of other things that kind of involve, because you've got two officers on the scene, one's uncertified, one's certified, and one officer's trying to train the other one to keep his eye out for him, and he can't put all his attention on the right thing. He's got to put it somewhere, either one place or the other. You can't watch both things at the same time very easily. It's just, it's dangerous for everybody involved, whether it's the person they're dealing with, the uncertified officer or certified. So, definitely certified is the way to go in the city, in my opinion, if we can do it. And that was one of the reasons that we did that, was to try to entice certified officers into town. So, and that gives us experience also.
And one of my top priorities is going to be to fund the two positions we held vacant this year. So that'll be coming forth, but I'm talking a lot about this here because this is costly, but I think given the safety component to the general public and to the officers, I think it's important. So I welcome any of your input now or in the next couple of weeks as we keep putting that budget together. But
you want two on top of the seven?
Yeah, so right now he's got 9 approved positions, but we held 2 to the side so that we can fund the salaries for the other ones. So.
Matt, yes, I see your recruitment stuff that you're putting out. What are you seeing applying? Are they the certified ones, non-certified?
We had one who was certified, mostly uncertified, one guy. One former police officer in California, so we locked them all up to each other.
That was a no, right?
So he had experience with the police department.
It's good to know you're building.
It's just doing
say you've been there.
That's
before.
It. Field research. There you go.
But yeah, I think that's always an intention. Young men and women who want to be police officers. That's what we get to do. Well, when I pay for my start at $36,000.
Are we comparable to any other departments our size, like across the state? Okay.
It's an arms race, and you'll see it. This department, you know, we'll all get one.
be with having a high quality, as much as we can afford, but it's got to be a priority, you know, public safety, you know, taking care of health.
Yeah, and just to be clear, we didn't, and I'm not proposing that we put it in writing unless you want to do it, that we would not hire a non-certified officer. But someone who's non-certified would really have to stick out for us to get that covered. So sticking with our men and women who run with sirens wide open. The other side of what we did last year, I'm sorry I said that because the siren was wrong, was we also increased firefighter pay. You couldn't hear the siren? Did you? You tuned
sorry.
It out. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I'm talking
I was tuning out during your transition to fire because I knew that's where we were going. But I'm back with you.
So last year, you were gracious enough to let us increase the police officer pay even though we held two positions open. And then we moved about $100,000 into fire so we could afford to put the fire department in the same position that we had put the police department. And I think that helped. Chief Smith, and you can chime in anytime you want to, Chief, was able to recruit a couple of folks to come in and was able to keep a couple others. But if you look in there, on average, we gave a 27% raise. That was to get back to what I would say where we were competitive. But again, I don't know that police and fire are that different in that we compete with everybody that's up in this part of the world, Oconee County, Seneca, Wahala, and if we stop paying attention, we'll lose ground quick.
Michael, how many do you have now?
We have a total of five. One per day, and then myself and fireball for one to Friday.
Any part-timers?
We have some floaters, not permanent part-timers.
Still no volunteers?
We have three volunteers.
So we'll look at each department now. You'll see the police department budget dropped significantly. Most of that had to do with moving that money out of salary and because we held those two positions that they did. No, with the police cars and the firefighter or the fire department truck we bought last year, I think I have those, the debt service in my department.
Okay, gotcha.
It could be either place.
Okay, cool. I was just curious.
I tend to put stuff where it's easy for me and Rebecca to keep up with.
Works for me.
And so, or if Rebecca tells me to do something, I put it there.
Just do it.
Quick review of police officer staffing. We've been at 9 for 3 years now. In terms of authorized positions, but it has been a little bit of a struggle for the officers this past year not having those. And right now, because we're down the other, we're actually down three positions.
You said down three.
Yes.
So two so we're holding.
Two we're holding, and we
one we
have
lost. Yep. We lost them.
That's corporal position. Men advertised.
And I didn't realize until after I went back and reviewed it how much fun I was having when I put this slide together that it gets kind of busy. So,
oh my goodness.
you know, this is what you have when you have a nerd for an administrator. So if you look at the bottom two are the two new vehicles that we, and I tried to put notes over to the left. Those are the two new police Tahoes that we bought this past year. Chief, how they do? I like to tell the story to anybody that'll listen about this tale of two chiefs. The police chief gets two vehicles, the fire chief gets one vehicle. I asked the police chief how much will it take to upfit these vehicles. They said, it's about $12,000 a vehicle. I go to the fire chief, I say, fire chief, how much do you need to upfit the vehicle? He said, probably about $300. The fire chief was counting on standing on top of that truck himself and drilling the holes for the light bar. So that is not how it all worked out, but that's generally speaking how the story went with my two chiefs. Some embellishment on my part, but that's how I like it.
Mercy.
What's he trying to say?
But if you'll look up at the top, what I intend to propose to you is that we replace those two vehicles up at the top. One is the pickup truck that we brought over from utilities just as a stopgap. Not intended to, because we had some really old, bad condition other vehicles, so we took one that was less so. And Chief Patterson has been real good to let that be his vehicle. Then to have a replacement schedule, you see going into 24, 25, and then 25, 26. Very likely in 25, 26, we would only replace two of the three. We would do two every year. And that 11th vehicle falls in a rotation. So the best of something doesn't get sold, and we don't have to actually include it in the replacement.
Do you see a pattern right there? The Ford's oldest. They got the most miles and it's hanging in there. Them Chevrolet and Dodges are not. Y'all need to keep that in mind when you go to buy a police vehicle.
Can I tell you a story about a Ford and a Chevy?
I just tell you right there it is. You can't argue with that.
Well, I'm buying two Fords, so there you go.
There you go. There's a pattern. You can see it.
Did you like that story?
No, I just, right there it is. Can't argue with
it. Oconee County Chevy rear-ended Ashes Ford Explorer one day. Me behind the wheel. What more than like a let off the gas rear end? Demolished his front end. Scratched that big on the back of my Ford Explorer.
I know a story about a Crown Vic that ran into the front of a Tahoe and tore the bumper up on the Tahoe and just broke the headlight on the Ford, the Crown Vic. I don't know who that was.
I got $700 for that little scratch from Oconee County too.
That day, that Crown Vic, it sat there for 10 minutes.
So I think it's important that you know the level of work that our officers are doing. So Chief pulled this for me a few days. Been collecting. You see that call volume is ticking up. Probably will continue. Some of that is as we fill in homes that at least prior to COVID weren't occupied and have become occupied, and some small residential growth.
Calls for service also include officer initiated, right? So that's a good thing. That shows they're being a little preventive. There you go.
Any questions? We're getting ready to go over to fire. Any questions on the police? So you'll see the opposite of what you saw in the fire department budget, where that budget was increased by $100,000, give or take, to help fund firefighters. Looking at firefighter staffing. Fifth year of five. And then the funding, since we split things with Oconee County, we talked about this last year, how the $285,000, it's been the allocation we've received since 2012, doesn't have the same purchasing power. You all know that I'm in discussions with the county on a new contract or a new model, depends on what we come up with. I have asked for 6 new firefighters, give or take, it's around a $500,000 increase in addition to that level of funding. I don't think there's any doubt that Chief Smith needs a minimum of 3 firefighters. I would feel more comfortable, I certainly think he would feel more comfortable if there were 6. That gives us the flexibility to have the number of firefighters on the trucks that we need. Most of the calls, go to the next slide, you see are in the county. And even those that are in the city, they're in a much smaller geographic area. And with the new neighborhoods that are in discussion, the one that's under construction, that's going to be 176 homes when that Cooper's Mill gets built. That has just been timberland up until now. So, any questions? Oh, got another slide for you on. When it comes to the equipment, we replaced the chief's vehicle this past year, and then we have the fire marshal vehicle that needs to be replaced. My plans, unless you direct me otherwise, would be to put that in next year's budget, meaning the 24-25. That way there's a 2-year gap between those vehicles, and then we'll think we'll have a good rotation there. The larger equipment, part of the discussion with the county is to have them fund the larger equipment. They collect the millage for it. I hope that gets, I will work hard for that to be a part of the narrative in the new contract. So I'm not neglecting big stuff that's up there. It's that I hope that we get a different funding source other than our general fund to pay for it. Any questions on fire, Chief? Anything that I missed that you want to say?
Just to clarify on the large equipment, those are the 2 city vehicles. We have 2 county vehicles that also are trying to get back into the county replacement.
And you're talking about E61 and E62?
Those are the city custom pumpers. We have 2 from the county.
Fire 1% money, this is something that you have to approve in the budget, but you don't get to tell the firefighters what to do with it. It's money that comes from the insurance company, and they have the discretion on how they use it. You'll see a big jump in the number from the previous years to this year. That money has been building in the bank because they haven't spent it. It's theirs to spend more or less as they choose or see fit. But to show you how much is there, that's just been building up through the years.
Michael, what are y'all using that fund for?
Whatever the volunteers and staff decide to do with it. It's very limited what you can do with it, but it has to benefit every member of the department. The form that you and Jimmy signed as the board of directors, that here is a budget that we submit with that we have not done yet, because we've got to get another 51% of the signatures on the paperwork. And so we're still trying to get people in to get all their signatures, and then I'll bring you the budget. Typically, we use it for exercise equipment, a Christmas dinner, a family day, and anything we can do for recruitment.
So y'all can use that to buy equipment for volunteers?
No, sir.
You can't?
No, sir.
that because it has to be for the whole department?
That's part of the federal guidelines of what you cannot use it for. You can't use it. Now, we could take it and build a separate building that volunteers can come and watch movies in, but we can't make enhancements to our current facility. Anything technically that should be provided, we can't provide. We need to thank the Little Heart State for that, for planning for hunt club views and hunt cabins, cruises, and that kind of thing.
Wow.
So what's the point?
Yes.
Before you move out of those.
I love it.
What's the, we got a, in the 2023 budget, we are 30,000 higher with the fire than we are the police, yet we have more police officers. What's the difference? What's causing the difference?
Ask me that again.
All right, the police personnel services is 420,000. Mm-hmm. Fire is 452 for this year. And the police have more officers, more employees.
Well, right now they're even. They both have five.
Mm-hmm. But they have had more, and they get paid more. So what's the difference? Is it more insurance for police officers, I mean, for firemen, or what's the...
No, well, the unknown variable for every employee is whether or not they take, what level of insurance they take.
Right.
So yep. It could be that one group or another, more of those members take the full city insurance and the others don't.
Mm-hmm.
That is about $12,000 per employee annually. I'll look into that and see what...
I'm just curious, it's a big difference, and you would think it'd be the opposite for the police getting paid more.
Code enforcement. And then I just to show you, we'll have some more numbers by the time we get to the latter part of our budget schedule. But the value of a meal, this is what you pay per $100,000, or this is the value per $100,000 of assessed taxes. So market value is great. It helps determine the assessed value, but that's not what you pay your taxes on. Generally speaking, we have seen a gradual rise in our mill value. I think last year I went back into 2016 and it's had an uptick. This is a reassessment year, so that value I'm expecting to go over $7,000 per mill. You also have the ability to roll back the millage rate so that we're made whole in the annual revenue we get from taxes, so that the property owners don't pay more in taxes. You could do it either way. My intent is to bring you a budget that starts reducing the 99.3 mills. I ran some scenarios last week and early this week, and given the pressures that we just talked about with police and fire, it may not be much, but we'll at least start the trend. Any questions? Move into solid waste.
Have you heard anything from the county about the increase they're about to see on the solid waste? Or they had something in the paper that their costs are going to increase?
At the landfill?
Mm-hmm. Their dump fees. I think they're going to go up. I just didn't know if I might mention anything.
I will check.
I mean, they still don't charge us. So I just want to know if that's going to stay that way.
So, and I really didn't know until, excuse me, until I started putting this together a couple weeks ago, just how strong we have now made solid waste in a short period of time. If you look on this slide and pay particular attention to the tan or the orange bar that goes across, and you see how much we were pulling from tax dollars to pay for solid waste disposal, we've brought that from a little over $86,000 down to a little more than 11 this year, and I believe next year we will not need any general fund subsidy at all, nor will we need a rate increase. So if we put a rate increase in this year, that made up for a lot of it. The other part was a few more homes in town. We've got a few more out of city solid waste customers, and the number of homes that were not occupied, that have become occupied since COVID, all that is fed into solid waste, what I'll say, being self-funded.
That's awesome.
For this year, so.
So you anticipate the next budget not seeing an increase and not seeing a transfer?
Yes.
Wow. Great job, team.
See, that's what happens when people move to your town. That's what that growth does.
Well, and I give a bunch of the credit to Kevin Harbin and his guys. He's got one guy that nearly works every weekend and every holiday so that we don't miss the commercial pickup that we do. And they keep our costs down. It's just because they get in the truck and they go pick it up and they take care of it, and there's not a lot of extra frills in the way they operate. So it's a bare bones operation, but they do a really good job.
Awesome. Kudos.
All right, we're ready to move on?
Yes.
So I thought it'd be important to have a couple of Rugrats in here. So
I don't know who those belong to.
I found a couple that I really enjoy talking to when they will talk to me. In case you're wondering, these are Rebecca's kids, Connor and Maggie. They play Westminster Rec. Connor is an excellent baseball player. Maggie's got lots of energy. We won't say she's not a good soccer player. She's learned.
She's not good.
These are a couple of my favorite people. So with her permission, I'll put them in.
That's me, man. That's how it is.
So looking at the Youth Rec Fund, when we get to the next slide, I've got a few discussion points with that. And if you care, the photo that's in the bottom corner is from Suzette Snediger, and those are the Oconee Rush girls. The next slide, and I will point out that on the right side, the washed out picture on the right does have Coleman Carter in there, Kylie Carter's son, and the little Rugrats playing basketball. And that's Maggie again on the left.
She looks great.
Getting it done, sorry. So if you look at this slide here, it's important to see what our budget is in Youth Rec and how much it is supplemented from sources other than itself. And I don't know that you ever get a youth direct department that actually pays for itself. That
right.
The fees would just have to be too high. But I wanted to show you here the amount that we're bringing in from the general fund and the hospitality tax fund. Some of that gets a little problematic, particularly on the hospitality tax fund, if we end up bonding that money to build some of the Hall Street or Hall Road components.
Simpson Street will be used this year?
Simpson Street will be used this year, and just so you know, I'm working to find out what we may name that. Y'all had asked me to get in touch with Yusuf's family to see, and I hope we have a ribbon cutting. It may not be the first game or two they play out there, but it will be early in the season. And we'll try and make a big deal out of that. And we have a few more things we need to do out there. Fences need to be put up and dugouts. Fencing's going to run about around $40,000, and the dugouts are going to run a little bit less than that.
Dugouts are what?
Around, I'm going to say 40. They're in the 30s. At least the prices that we have right now.
And fencing was around 40 too?
Yes.
Kevin, yeah, when y'all were looking at the fencing, did you look at using those sleeves in that area of the deep fire right away? That we can just pull that out?
Well, we aren't going to put anything permanent that's in the right-of-way. So the fencing...
It's just a temporary vinyl fencing?
Yeah, even if... I'm sure Herb will put some of that out there, but the fencing we've got pricing on is for the backstop and going down first and third baselines.
Okay, so all the outside...
But it all stops at the... Yeah, going down third baseline stops at the right-of-way. It'll go longer. And this is a lot of stuff, and I realize that, and I apologize, but I still thought it was good for you to see this on your paper. You know, part of the thing that Herb does so well is he does a lot of work and doesn't ask for much attention about it at all. And if you look back, and we're still in the middle of the 22-23 season, so that's why those numbers to the far right have some blanks in it, because we haven't got to all that yet. But if you look back at the 21-22 season, and you go down to the bottom right-hand corner where it says all total, and this is the way Herb keeps the information, so I gave it to you the way he keeps it, rather than change it. If you look at those numbers, inside versus outside, city resident versus non-city resident, about 84% of Westminster Rec athletes are coming from outside the city.
How much?
84.
84.
We come up with this back in 2017, I think. Maybe it been 16, I think it was 17, because we were trying to show the county how many county taxpayers we provide this service for. So y'all keep that in mind.
84% come from outside the city limits?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. And if you'll divide the total budget into the 916 participants, you'll see what each participant costs the city. That's the big thing that we're hoping the county will eventually see.
What was the county's response when you took it to the person?
We created a recreation task force. They had about 20 people on it. And they got up to the point of agreeing to give one meal total to recreation to be split among the cities, which still didn't cover near the cost. I think at the time, is Herb here?
No.
I think at the time we figured it was around $200 and something per participant, what the total cost ended up being, averaged among the cities. And they were going to do it, and then they backed out. So I think that's something I think all the cities need to try to show that. Because that's a service we're providing and we're paying for.
And we're going to pass this 916 number, though.
Yes.
If you look at where we're at already, I mean,
mm-hmm.
if you look at the subtotals for basketball, it was 96 and 22. Right now, it's 125.
it's similar to what the fire does. We provide a service for county taxpayers, and we won't, we're not, I wouldn't even consider not doing that. We're going to do it regardless, and I think they know it. This is the most important thing we do, is provide something for these kids to do. It's just trying to get the county to see those numbers and realize what they mean.
Do we have any idea, like if they play baseball, you know,
are we talking about the same people in sports?
Multiple sports? Do we have any idea of that?
Yeah, you know, I'll have Herb in when we do some of our later discussion. He can answer that. I think typically what you see is if they play for Westminster, they tend to stay here for their sports. Because he and I were talking recently about flag football for the spring. He didn't do it last year, and then some of the kids that wanted to play went to either Wahala or Seneca, and now that's where they're playing their sports. So from that discussion, I could give you that, but he certainly could give you a much better rundown.
Because in my work, we have a thing to see the track, census track. We have had many children live in our area right around, and it's so close to the number of how many people we're serving. It's really amazing. Mm-hmm. So to know that would be very powerful.
Absolutely.
What are we looking at here, Kevin?
So the photo on the right is actually Dale's baseball team. I did a little creative scrubbing it because I don't have permission from the families to use the kids' faces. But the taller person on the third row, all the way to the left, that's actually Dale.
It looks like you have a really nice beard.
It looks like you got a Panama hat on.
It looks that way here. He doesn't. But this is also the team that Connor, Rebecca's boy, played on.
And I'll sign these for $5
a piece. I'm sorry, I was not clear in my question. I was actually asking about the number.
Oh, yes. I'll get to that after.
But thanks for the details.
We have to have introductions first.
The transitions are important.
Introductions, yeah.
And volleyball, again, Oconee Rush on the right. The numbers that you're seeing, these are rec fees. And I'm going to tell you the Herb Pool request / endorsed. He would like to go up on both inside and outside fees by $5. And when we have him come in, he can go down the list of everything that he's had price increases on, from baseballs to bottles of water, to nets, to jerseys. Everything has had an increase. We're hearing, although this is just what we're hearing, that Wahala is looking at increasing theirs as well. This is the league that we play in, and so this gives you a sense of what's happening in the league, though I don't think we're necessarily competing with folks in Anderson and Liberty. We do for Wahala. So I will have a question slide at the end, and one of my questions as we put this next budget, it's not going to have a material effect on the budget, but will you support or do you support increasing those fees? Herb sent me a message today saying if council agree to increase that, will they also increase late registration? Not because he wants to make money, he just wants people to register on time so he knows what teams he's got. So we'll bring that to you in a fully developed schedule and get your feedback on it.
Sure.
Can you do a little research and make sure what Seneca Wild is going to do?
Yeah. Local Development Corporation, not a lot going on here. We get an annual allocation from PMPA. We still have around $15,000 from the Municipal Association grant that we haven't drawn down on. Right now, we don't have any applications in.
So we're sitting on 48 right now?
Give or take.
And nobody's asking for it?
Correct.
And what's our limit up to, 5? We need to advertise that.
Well, I have I was going to inform you at the council meeting, but the Local Development Corporation met last week. I think it was last week. I think last week or a week before. And we got together for the point of talking about that. And what we ended up on was, rather than increase the amount that we offer in the grants first, we're going to do a mailer to the business and the property owners for all the properties that would be eligible to see if we can kind of drum some folks up. So
what's the orange bar? And that's what we've got sitting.
That other, I think that's the Municipal Association grant. We really just have two sources of funds for that. We have what we get from PMPA, and then the money that we got a $25,000 grant in 2021, and we have until December this year.
The PMPA is yearly, right?
Yes.
What was the total on that? 14? Was it 14?
16.
16, 5.
16 and change. I budget conservatively.
Around that.
It's more than 16.5, but it's less than 17. So I usually put 16.5.
Got it. I was just wondering what you put on the chart.
Hospitality and accommodations. Look here, and I'll give you some more when we do the revenue review. You'll see that we're probably pulling in around 175, maybe 180 annually in hospitality tax. We've seen an increase in that. I don't think it's because anybody's doing any more business, but businesses' prices have gone up. So the value of what we get is based off the value of the bill.
Hey, I have a really random question.
Okay.
Related to hospitality tax. So if a restaurant adds a credit card processing fee, does that affect hospitality tax at all?
It should not. The hospitality should be based, the 2% should be based off the value of the food and beverage.
Okay.
We need to figure out how to do that on cigarettes.
Get a hospitality off of cigarettes.
That new cigarette shop coming, we need to be able to do that. Cigarettes, beer, and vapes.
What if they went and sat down and vaped? Does that count?
If you can.
Or if they had a canteen in there?
No, it's just food. We talked about this state level. We tried to figure a way out to do it then. We wish.
Local accommodation fund. Again, this is mostly coming from Relax and Magnolia Manor. So a question I'll have for you at the end. This is the amount you've given in what we're calling community grants. Just keep in mind that in 2020 that number went down because of COVID.
Sure.
So I'll be asking you to direct me on what you want to do there.
Those are not requests. Those are what was paid out, correct?
Those are what was funded.
Yeah,
that's not what was requested.
Right.
The requests were higher than this.
Yeah. Yes. I very well remember that. I'll have fun with that while I was on the drinks.
Policy considerations. You've seen most of what we're going to see. The next few slides was in the last budget workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're working toward is doing another 5% utility transfer fee.
Go back to that, please. So it's calculated from the total proposed budget. That's what the transfer is based on, right?
Yes.
Are we seeing a difference in the revenue on the electrical side with all the upgrades? Is that going to decrease in a way that's going to hurt the total budget, or can you tell yet?
Well, I'm thinking of, I don't know if I can answer your question.
You might not yet. I know it might be the end of the year before we know.
We're meeting budget each month for utility, for electric revenue.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't necessarily exceeding. Mm-hmm. So we're bringing in what we thought we should bring in.
Did you say we were meeting, not exceeding?
Correct.
Yes.
Revenue?
In any given month, it could go up or it could come down. You know, a lot of folks tend to think that that really cold weather we had in December was going to drive our electric rates up. But the rest of December was kind of moderate. Mm-hmm. So there's a there was a lot that happened those 3 or 4 days. But when you look at the rest of the month, it smoothed it back out.
Our electric was about to go up. This weather keeps up. This was air conditioning.
Yeah.
Well, mine's been running.
What'd you say, Adam?
So it's about to go up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the reason I'm asking just the projections when we started this electrical project was to save $360,000 a year in electrical costs, and I wondered how that was going to work into our budget, if it was showing up yet. It may not for another year.
Well, I think when, you know, we didn't address that specifically when we put this budget together, but there was a lot more flexibility with this electric budget that we're in right now than we had last year.
Good.
And I would say that flexibility comes from the system efficiencies that we gained with the upgrades.
Great. That's what we needed to know.
This slide was on your last one, calculating days cash on hand. That's because we're looking at all funds across the city. On average, about $26,000 per day in 2022. We get to 2023, it's around $39,000. You know, that number's gonna move a little bit. Also, the day's cash on hand is going to draw down a little bit because the roughly 80-some thousand dollars that would equate to, in 22 numbers, about close to 3 days worth of cash, we're going to spend to demolish the old fire base. That money just been sitting there, in essence, as a reserve. Excuse me. Again, I apologize when these slides get quite so intricate, but what this is showing you, if you look in the black box from 21 to 22, that range is for all the PMPA participant cities, keeping in mind that we are by far the smallest. But it gives us some measures to go by, some comparison points. And I think you'll see in there that we're not atypical from the rest of the group. And I'll point out one more time that these numbers are calculated by PMPA's CFO, and she calculates our transfer is 7.24%, but it's 5.
It's what?
5. She's got a CPA. She doesn't feel the need to consult me when she does the calculations.
Shame on her.
This is, again, a partial component of our debt service schedule. We'll give you the whole schedule when we get to the budget. I expect that if on solid waste, if we can afford a leaf vat truck, which what's a leaf vat truck run? About
263.
If we can afford that, the debt service on it, it's going to be really close. You'll see a leaf vat truck be in your proposed budget for solid waste. That would take a 3-man operation down to a 1-man operation.
You wanted to make a half.
We don't have any half employees.
I want to see that.
That's a team up.
You can't have a team.
Are we still supposed to receive that truck this month? With the garbage truck?
Yes.
If I remember right, it was my truck. I have submitted the PO. On the day the PO was to be submitted, I was told, don't worry about it, it's yours. But I have not received an official. I know it had two more places to demo. Demonstrate.
Yeah.
Understood. Two more places to demonstrate, and then it was going to go in the shop and then be delivered to the final destination, which I've been assured is us. So we should get it by the end of this month.
We'll probably have a few pieces of equipment in the utility fund and two more police vehicles in the general fund. Again, all that we will juggle that right up until the last minute. I don't mind sharing with you that what I've shared with the staff as we've met on our budget, our priority is the staffing. I felt like last year you folks were kind to us to let us give the COLA that we gave to do the adjustments we did for police and fire. And yeah, I feel like we stabilized a lot of our staff turnover as a result of what we did last year. But I also have a small amount of paranoia that we're only as good next year as we keep moving. Kevin has done a good job at, Kevin, Taylor, and Terry have done a good job at slowing the turnover in the utility department down. Well, Taylor does the best job. He's had no turnover. So we can give him all the props. Terry's groups are a little bit more fluid, but he's done a good job at stabilizing that. That comes through their collective leadership as well as the pay. And so I appreciate what they've done. But as you look at this, you know that we're going to bring as much of this as we can in a responsible way afford, but the focus is on personnel. Unless you give me, and we're willing for any other direction that you would give us. I feel okay about our operational budgets. The inflation has come into play on a few of them, Rick, probably more than any of the others. But the departments have done a good job at managing it. Most of what we're managing right now is just supply chain slowdown. The second part of my debt service slide, which is just all the footnotes. So this is a very unflashy slide. So these are some questions that I welcome your input, either now or later or anytime. What's the appropriate amount for community grants? Do you support a recreation fee increase? Do you support a millage reduction? The last section down there, we're going to create an Anderson Park budget.
Yay!
Of its own, because we're doing the upgrades and we've had some insurance issues in the last, we should have done it in this current year budget and we got bogged down and couldn't quite pull it off. But last year we had some insurance questions that we really should have already separated out. And that's just where the insurance company wants to know what our maintenance and the work that we're doing at the park are. The other part, some of this is kind of an intro into your council meeting, and I certainly don't want to get ahead of that discussion. I don't even want to be a part of that discussion with you guys. I just want to listen. With your pay, so item number two, I didn't write it all in there, but we're going to create a city council department too, so that your pay is in there as well as an annual travel budget. You guys were wonderful in that you all decided to engage and began attending Municipal Association training, which I think most of, or all of you would say has been helpful.
Absolutely.
But we have not historically created a budget for travel training for the council members. What I have just right now, and again, I'm open and welcome your input, that I would put a budget amount per council member in there, or we can do a bucket that you all draw from. Right now, the seven of you and me, we share a travel and training budget, and it would take work on Rebecca's part for us to pull that out and say which council member has spent what and what have I spent.
Right.
I feel a sense of responsibility to you to be able to report exactly what I spend on travel and training.
Right.
And right now it all gets dumped into this one place. I think it would be appropriate to separate those things out.
You want answers now?
I'll take them.
All right. Does anybody have any suggestion on the hospitality tax?
40K.
40?
Yep.
Anybody have anything?
Probably not go higher.
Anybody have anything different? Jimmy Dale?
I said, I don't think that high.
I mean, that's as high as I would, yeah, be comfortable with.
Well, I can tell you, we've had a council that didn't want to go to that, and it disappointed a lot of people that year. So, I mean, we have requests for 60 or more, I think.
Right now, you have about 52.
52? So, y'all want to hang it at 40? Does that suit everybody?
Suits me, yeah. I know we had a hard time getting within that 40 last year. Mm-hmm.
Going once, going twice.
And if it helps, I'll tell you what some of my plans are. And when I say these are my plans, that means I'm open to whatever you guys would like me to do otherwise. We have the accommodations tax. So in this current fiscal year, we used a tax to pay for our Visit Oconee, what I call our subscription there. We don't have to, but we participate. I think we get a lot of value out of Visit Oconee. It's $5,000. We also pay our Chamber of Commerce fees out of that. And I think that's $2,500 or $5,000. Okay. The Oconee History Museum has asked for allocation from here. They qualify for ATAX or HTAX.
They qualify for either,
the Oconee
but not
Museum?
Both.
Yeah, because they get the same thing from the museum component allows it to qualify under ATAX. But it could go HTAX, so you could take some pressure off of the funding amount on your hospitality by funding what they want out of ATAX.
Do we have it?
We have a little bit of a fund balance has built up in ATAX that in a few more weeks, when we get to one of our next budget workshops, I'll be able to tell you what that amount is.
Okay.
That I think you can fund paying the Chamber, Visit Oconee, and if you wanted to do the museum out of that. Certainly you don't have to, but of the submittals that you got, that's the one that you could pay for, or you could fund from there.
Okay. All right, do you support a recreation fee increase?
Yep.
And by that I mean the $5, or if you want to say more, you know that $5 is what Purvis. I'm gonna say
he's the one that sees him every day.
Last time it was raised?
We raised it. When we raised it? 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. 3 or 4? Mm-hmm. When was it? We did raise it.
Not registration fees. You raised
what we raised?
Officials, maybe.
No, we raised the fees at one time because we actually had this discussion with Chris Carter about what they were paying and what the other cities were. Or maybe we had the discussion and decided not to.
Didn't I feel it? Like that $35 is what I would pay in $3.
We may have discussed it and the council decided not to, but what I'd like to do is let's see what the other two cities are doing because that's the ones we compete with. I mean, let's try to stay in line with them. If they go up more, we'll just try to stay with it.
I'd also like to see it put in some kind of, and you do a great job, Kevin, I'm not criticizing you, but some kind of every 2 years something, or you know what I'm saying? Because it catches up with you very quickly. You know what I'm saying? Then all of a sudden, when you ask for $500, you get to, you know what I'm saying?
I think if anything we could do at the bare minimum, a late registration fee increase as an incentive to register early. I think if Walhalla and Seneca kind of stay in the same ballpark, then maybe we leave the regular registration fees alone, but late registration goes up $5. That way, you get an early registration discount of $5.
And we are doing some things that Rebecca, Kylie, and I have worked on, making the way that everyone can pay for everything easier with our software provider. And in October, we were told March will be the month when they roll out this new software platform. I say all that to say, it should get easier for anybody wanting to register their child or their children for rec, different than the way they have to do it now, which may help people be more timely. Because our plan is if you think about it at midnight or at 11:58, you can get on
Yeah.
If you can get it done and you don't have to come see us, you don't have to visit every year.
Does anybody not want to increase the recreation fees? Let's ask that question. No? So I think everybody's a go with that, but I would like to find out what Sunday from Walhall is doing, because that's the ones that we need to try to stay with them. It might be better than what we're getting.
And if I may, the other fees that I'm going to propose to you to increase, I'm sorry to put on here, is the rental fees for the depot.
Yes.
Depot rental fees?
Debbie says, yes, please.
I was told that the last time they were increased, it was to try and dissuade some membership or some rental, I'm sorry, and it didn't do that at all. We're renting usually at least once every weekend, sometimes two or three times.
Where does that money go to?
General fund.
We used to keep the lodge rented, but we cut that out for insurance purposes, so now we're no longer renting. So that might be some of the overflow into this, because it's not available anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, we weren't going to make it unaffordable, but we were going to increase the fees.
What is it now?
$125 for 4 hours.
And that's an increase. That's a relatively recent increase.
Yeah, it's not much.
But it's not much. I remember I was at the council meeting that it got talked about.
That's cheap.
And it's $25 for extra hours per hour.
Right.
So.
And it barely covers like the cleaning.
What do we charge for the park? The gazebo?
It's less.
The shelters at the park?
Mm-hmm.
$35 and $25.
An hour.
For 3 hours.
$100
$100
Well, you know, when we get this park redone, we're going to see a big increase in that as well.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're going to increase for the depot, are you going to be looking at that as well? Yeah. All right. So you got your answer on that. All right. Do you support a millage reduction?
Yes.
Millage reduction.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody supports. What kind of total are you looking at there, Kevin?
So it's going to be minimal. So we got 99.3. I think, and it'll all depend on what our mill value comes back at.
Mm-hmm.
But when I ran some numbers based off of a moderate increase, it was only about 2 or 3 mills that we could afford to drop and not lose what I would say critical funding, particularly for public safety. So I was hoping we would be around 5 to 8, but, and again, it'll depend on what it comes back.
Right. So what would that reduce the city?
So it would go from 99 to...
No, I mean dollars. In dollars, what do you think?
Oh, well, we would not lose any money from what we've got this year.
We just wouldn't see an increase.
We just wouldn't see an increase.
Okay.
Would not lose money, just wouldn't see it?
Right, we wouldn't see the increase with the property value increases.
Okay.
So it's not going to hurt us on what he's working on the budget.
Okay.
All right.
So the right thing is to say yes to that?
Well.
This is way above
my experience. We have the highest millage rate of anybody in the county. Yes.
Right, I understand.
If we can start easing that down because our property values are going up,
okay,
it's a benefit to the property owners in Westminster.
That's how I needed to understand this.
Yeah.
And the answer is yes. Theoretically, also, if you bring that value down, then more people will want to have homes and businesses here, so it helps. Mm-hmm. So you've got to go down and be in a plateau for a while, and then it should come back.
Fantastic. Thank you for the clarification.
You said we could roll back on the property tax. What does that do to us?
So usually the rollback keeps you whole from your previous year's income. So if you have been getting $600,000 in property taxes, they do a reassessment, and if you kept your millage at the same rate, you would see, let's say, an additional $50,000. You roll it back, so you keep the amount that you had in the previous year.
Right, but if we do that, we're not losing money, we're just not, as
that another one of those?
Correct. Yeah, you're not losing anything. You just aren't gaining. And it's a little bit of a challenge because you need to go a couple of years, kind of just sit there, and then let that growth pick back up. And I say the growth, I mean the growth and the value of the mill.
I may go home now?
No.
That's the next slide.
No, we're not through with that. We've still got
I hadn't got to. You haven't seen
we're
going
to talk
up
about
yet.
These. He hadn't flipped it. You
I
can't
have
look.
Notes there.
No, you can't look. You can't look until he flips.
I'm ready for
you. Switch your face until he flips. He hadn't flipped yet. All right, the Anderson Park is a budget department. Everybody agree with that? Think that's a good idea?
Oh, yes. You wanted to talk about each one of these.
Well, we're going to discuss them so he knows where we're thinking. And
yes.
Then the city council travel and training. I will say this and make this known to the whole world. This is probably the most engaged and hardest working council we've had in 8 years that I've worked with. And I think she won't print that. She won't print that.
She's taking notes.
I think a lot of what Kevin's brought in grant-wise is due to the networking and going to these events and
right.
spending that little bit of money. And if you're spending a little money and you come back with a $500,000 grant or a $250,000 grant, you're paying for yourself. So I know I learned a lot from it, and I work with council members that have never done this, and there's a huge difference in those who do this and go to these trainings and don't. So I do think we should have some kind of budget. Seneca has one. It's just an overall budget for their whole council. It's their pay, their training. I don't know if we should go individually because some members cannot go, and that would give some that go two extras a little extra to work with. But
right.
that's my opinion. So I don't know how y'all feel about it, and I don't know what some of these cost.
What's the benefit of breaking it down?
Well, I don't know that there's necessarily a benefit as much as I've just seen it done that way before, but I've also seen it done where you could list out $2,500 seven times and each one of you get a $2,500 assignment, or you just put a bucket of funds for $17,500. I've seen it both ways. The benefit is really pulling it out from the staff, because it's mostly me, mm-hmm. but there are some other staff training. So after you pull that out, it's whatever you prefer. I don't know that it really matters.
And we do get, $14,000 from the PMPA, which goes toward the training. And that's spread out over the whole city. That's so our electrical department has been using that this year.
Okay, that's the whole city.
This year, they used it, a lot of it, right?
Yeah, so there were some changes in who we could send our electric linemen to be trained. And that caused our cost to go up, so we've been using the PMPA money for the line.
Does that $14,000 include the PMPA annual meeting in Myrtle Beach?
So kinda. So if you go to the PMPA conference, none of you pay a registration to go. You do pay. The city would pay for you to stay in the hotel and your travel to get this.
Right.
So you don't have a conference registration.
Okay.
That's on PMPA. For me and the mayor, since we're your board members, we don't
pay.
I don't pay a hotel fee. I don't know if he pays.
Rebecca does. I don't know.
I don't think y'all did last year.
Yeah. So anybody other than your two board members has to pay the hotel fee.
Right. That makes sense. That's the way most.
So it's a little bit of a sport.
That's okay. Where I was asking the benefit. Just to leave it in a bucket. Whoever's going to be able to go all the way to Myrtle Beach for those days, they're going to need more than a $2,500 over the year, most likely.
And that's just a number I pulled out of the air. I didn't do any research to see what it cost you to go to the Columbia meeting or to the annual meeting. I just pulled a number out. It could be anything you want. I guess that should be another part of the question.
Yeah, you need to figure out what's going to work for some of these, what some of these costs.
Well, I want to say as a new council member this year, I didn't know all the different trainings that would go on. You know, I learned as I went along. So I think it'd be a great conversation to have among us before one comes up to say, you know, are you thinking about going in June or whatever?
Right.
And we might get a better, I would get a better handle on which ones I should really, this is an important one, the most important for me or maybe.
Well, yeah, and one example was one that Audrey was going to go to. Which one was it you was going to sign up for?
There's one coming out that I had sent an email to Kevin and Rebecca, or maybe you and Rebecca, or you and Kevin, asking about, and then never heard back. But, I mean, it's a municipal association training, and one of the primary topics is homelessness. And that's why I was interested in it.
Gotcha.
Community something.
But, see, every council member is going to find something that
they're more
passionate about. But the thing about it, the more educated we are, the better we're going to be at what we do.
And there were other things at that conference, too, that I was like, I'm completely ignorant on that. I want to go and learn. If we had a pot.
Kevin, would this include things like the online training you could take also?
Yes, anything that you would want to do. You know, there's a lot of stuff that will come to you all through the Municipal Association. But there are other organizations out there, the National League of Cities, the Community Development Association, the South Carolina Department of Commerce. Once you get on one of those email lists, you'll start getting a lot. You could decide you just want to go down to learn more about homelessness. That's not a conference offered by anybody that we're currently aware of, but you could go. There, you don't have any restrictions on yourself for what you go to. We're going to pay the bill if you go.
I don't go to anything that's way off. I get invitations for Florida. There's all kind of them going on in Florida all the time. And with the PMBA, they're all over, they're across the country.
Right.
I try to do the ones here, local, that mean the most, make a difference here. But, yeah, you get invited to everything in the world.
But there was great value in us all being together.
Absolutely.
You know, that was great.
Absolutely.
There was. We get in front of our representatives.
Right.
Beg for grant money, by the way.
Well, if you get that check.
Have another grant.
And you sit down and think about it, would you have gotten that check if you hadn't went down there as a group?
So I mean, I thought
what
it was
you
great.
Spend here transfers into what we get in grants, and you learn a lot. It makes you better at what you do. So I guess, do y'all agree that we should have one pot of money, or should we have individuals? One pot? One pot of money?
Do you want to suggest an amount for the pot?
I think you need to do some math and figure out what it costs to go to these. See what we spent over this last year and pat it a little bit.
Yeah, I'd have to make an uneducated.
And if other ones to come up that the budget's about out and something big came up that somebody felt was important, then I think it could come to council and approve a
amendment
if it was something big. Ma'am?
Sorry. For me, I think what's most important, and I understand this from the way that we budget stuff, is separating out staff versus council, travel and training. That to me is what is most important. But I think as far as council members are concerned, we're all comfortable being in one pot. Is that a fair statement?
It is. So you can get us a number you think might work. What do I mean?
Is your cruise coming? Are they coming? Are
your cruise? I was getting pressure on the button.
I think if we get down to the Chogan, we may do cruise on the Chogan. You can do things on that.
Yeah, train. And if anybody's wondering, those are shamrocks.
I understood that they were shamrocks because it's March.
I thought they were the Irish.
I did think it was the Celtic knot at first, the Celtic cross.
Did you do this yourself?
All right. Anybody have any more questions?
Jamie, you got anything?
Move to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank y'all.